Let's hope it's not been a sign of things to come, but probably so. Some of you all may know about my difficulty at telling audiences to sit down after I have asked them to stand, especially at weddings. Thankfully, that's never happened at a funeral, but at weddings, I'm really bad. So I found a workaround to that. You know what it is? You never ask them to stand. I didn't even think of that. I had a wedding last night. I was walking up here, and I said, I don't think I ever told them people to stand last night. Nobody complained, so I guess it doesn't matter. I've found that there are a lot of things that are tradition that I think have to happen that people are like, nah, we don't do those things anymore. So it's a wedding. I think I do's and a signature and a kiss is all you need, right? So that got done. This morning, we're going to continue our discussion on glory that we started last week, and today we're going to wrap up that thought. After I'm done, you'll be glad that it wasn't one long sermon, but I hope that it begins to transform the ways we think about things. Like we said last week, I'll just give a concise definition of what glory is. Glory is someone's or a person's elevated status. This person is important. Glory is someone's status, their importance, or a symbol that indicates their elevated status. But here's the thing. Jesus turns that upside down. Jesus forces us to reimagine what glory looks like. Even if you had never been to a culture before, you would think you could probably walk into any town or city or country and you could pick out the important people. You could walk into that place and you could say, that person is important. That person may be royalty. That person is significant. But how would you make that judgment? How would you make that decision that I bet that person is important? I bet that is somebody who is significant. Maybe you make that judgment because there's people crowded around them and they have an entourage, and people with an entourage are people with glory. They're important people. Or maybe you say they have really nice clothes on and people who dress like that are important people. That's a person with glory. Or it's a fancy car and you say that's an important person because they have glory. But Jesus turns all of that upside down. For Jesus, his exaltation would be his execution. Jesus says the greatest are actually the least. If you want to be important, you have to be a servant to all. And best of all, God chooses to rule the world through a humble, meek, selfless, crucified king. If you want to walk into Jesus' kingdom, and you think that you can pick out the people with glory, you think you can pick out the significant people, then you had better start looking at the floor and the people washing others' feet, because that's the people with glory. That's where you will find the king in this kingdom. And in a kingdom where you find the king on the floor washing feet, in a kingdom where you find the king not with a golden crown on his head, but a crown of thorns on his head, in a kingdom where you find the king not on a beautiful throne, but nailed to a cross, that is an upside down, different kind of kingdom that forces us to reimagine what does it mean to be elevated? What does it mean to be important? What does it mean to have glory? What does it mean to be significant? Here's something that I think we fail to realize about the word glory. Sometimes we think we fail to recognize that God also offers to give us glory. Last week we've talked about God's glory, God's significance and importance, God's status as a ruler, and Jesus embodying that glory, his significance and his rulership, his importance. And then we read here in John and all throughout the New Testament, we find that God gives us glory. What does that mean? What does it mean that God glorifies us, that God gives us glory? It doesn't mean that God praises us. Sometimes we think glory just means praise, but it doesn't mean God praises us. And it's more than just God blessing us. So what does it mean that God gives us glory? Well, if glory is elevated status, if glory is significance, if glory is royalty, that's what it means. That God gives us status, God gives us a position of honor. God gives us a position of significance. God makes us royalty. But then that demands that we re-examine that and we think about that more. What does it look like in Jesus' kingdom to be royal? What does it look like in Jesus' kingdom to be important? What does it look like in Jesus' kingdom to be significant? And this idea that God gives us glory, that God offers to give us glory, it forces us to make a decision. You have a moment of truth coming. You've got a choice to make. And what is that choice? You can either choose between this and something else. And it's a hard choice to make. We'll look over at our text in John 5:37 is where we'll start. Jesus is talking there to the people in his culture who had the glory, which were who? It was the leaders and the rulers in Jerusalem. In the Jewish culture in Jerusalem, these were the people with the glory. These were the people with honor and significance. If you walked into Jerusalem not speaking the language, even from being 2,000 years in the future, if you got in a time machine and you went back to Jerusalem, you would be able to pick out the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rulers of the Sanhedrin. You'd say, I bet it's those guys. I see the clothes they're wearing. I see the way that people look at them. I see the way that they carry themselves. I can look at them and I can tell that those are the people with glory. Those are the people with significance. And this is what Jesus says. He says, and the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe in the one whom he has sent. All throughout John, all throughout all the gospel accounts, if you don't recognize Jesus, you don't recognize God. If you don't know that this is God in the flesh, if you can't look at the things that Jesus is doing and listen to the words Jesus is saying and seeing what Jesus is willing to do to save his people, then you really don't know God at all. The fact that they could look at Jesus and say, you don't measure up to the way we think a king should be. You don't measure up to how we think a king should act. You don't talk the way we think a king should talk. You don't go down the right avenues. You don't do things the right way as we see fit. So we don't accept you as king. That in itself proves they don't know anything about God's type of king. That's exactly what he is saying to the people in charge. The people that think that they are significant, the people that think they have honor, the people that think they have glory, Jesus is saying to these religious leaders, you don't really know God because you don't recognize me. And in verse 39, he says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. He says, you know the scriptures. You know the law of Moses. You've read the prophets. You've read all these things. You know them forwards and backwards, and you search them diligently because you think in them you have eternal life. But when the Word comes, who is Jesus, when the Word shows up in the flesh, you don't recognize me because you don't know God. He said, it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. And then listen to this. I do not receive glory from people. Jesus has to mean more than just honor or praise. Because Jesus does receive honor and praise from people. His apostles, his disciples, they praised and honored him, and he accepted that because it was true and right. Jesus doesn't mean I don't receive honor and praise from people. He says I don't receive glory from people. I don't receive my status from people. I'm not king because you voted for me. I'm not the Messiah because you like me. I don't hold that position because you picked me or you chose me or you voted for me. I don't need your acceptance. I don't need you to like me. I don't need you to believe in me for me to have the position of honor and significance. Jesus says for me to be Messiah, for me to be the ruler, I don't need you, man, to put me in that position. I don't have my status because of what you say. And my status cannot be taken away from me because of what you say. Verse 42 says, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another? Now that's really honing in on the issue, isn't it? All of these people, all of these religious people, these ruling elites, as they saw themselves, where did their status come from? From each other. They played by their own rules and they received glory from each other. Their status, their importance, their significance in the community comes from each other. They bestowed it on each other and they could take it away from each other. There were people in that community, in that religious leader community in Jesus' day that said, I'm pretty sure that this Jesus guy is the Messiah. But they were terrified to say it. Why? Because they didn't want their glory taken away. Those other men within their circle, they gave glory to them and they could take it away. They gave them their status and they could take it away, and that's why they couldn't afford to believe in Jesus. They couldn't afford to say, I'm going to follow you, because they didn't want their glory taken away. But Jesus says, I don't receive glory like that. I don't receive glory from people. My status, my position, my authority, my elevated status to rule doesn't come from people. I didn't receive that glory from people, but all of you all gave that glory to each other. And that's why you can't afford to believe in me, because you want glory from each other rather than the glory that comes from the only God. So you have a choice to make. You can seek the importance and the status and glory that comes from the people that bestow it on you. And they say, you're important, you're significant, you have a position now, you are an important person, and they can also take it away from you. You can seek that, and when you do, when you put all of your hopes in that, and you say, they all think that I'm important, they all think I'm significant, and I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize that. Or you can seek the glory that comes from the only God. God says, I'm giving you a place of importance. I'm giving you a place of honor. I'm giving you a place of significance. Do you see why it was easier for people on the bottom rung of society to seek that glory rather than it was for the people who were on the top of society? Whether it was the people who were rich, who were a part of the inside circle, or the people who were the religious leaders, it was hard for them to say, I don't care about the glory that comes from man. I want the glory that comes from God. And that makes us stop and think for a second, doesn't it? Do we seek glory that comes from people? How is it that people bestow glory on us? Why is it that we see somebody with a nice set of clothes and we think they are more important than a person that doesn't have a nice set of clothes? Why do we think that way? Why do we think that a person who drives a certain type of vehicle is more important than a person who drives another type of vehicle? Why is it that we think the person who owns the company is more important than the person mopping the floors for the company? But it's us, isn't it? It's us that bestows that glory. It's society. It's culture. It's the group that places that glory and significance and importance on certain types of people. And then that people that give it can also take it away. And we know that, don't we? And we want to be seen as important. We want those status symbols. We want culture or our group or our family to say, you're important. You are significant. You have a position of honor, but then when they give it to us, we are terrified that they are going to take it away from us. We're afraid to step out of line and say something that maybe somebody doesn't like, because if they don't like it, they're going to take away our glory. They're going to take away our position of honor and status, and that's what these men were afraid of. Don't take away my glory from me. In every culture, in our culture, in our society, in our minds and in our hearts, it's easy to seek the glory that comes from man. But Jesus says, my position, my status, my authority, my glory, I didn't receive it from anybody. I don't need you to accept me. I don't need you to like me. I don't need you to approve of me. My Father approves of me. My Father gave me this glory. My Father gave me status. And he would give you glory, and he would give you status, and he would give you importance if you would seek it from him, but you don't. He says you seek it from other people. You seek it from each other. How relevant is it for all of us to not seek the glory that comes from man, but the glory that comes from God? What does that mean? How do you seek the glory that comes from God? How does God give people glory? Status. Importance. Well, go back to the beginning of John. It all goes back to the prologue. He tells us in the first 18 verses everything that this book is going to be about. And he says in verses 12 and 13, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That's glory. That's glory. You become part of the family of God. You become a child of God, a child of Yahweh, not because of who your parents were, the family you descended from, not because you're Gentile, not because you're Jewish. They were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God gives this status. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're my child. You're my offspring. You're my family. And it's Jesus that helps bring us into that family. It's Jesus that gives us the right to be called children of God. And I know we've heard that our whole lives, children of God. So it's kind of lost its ring to it. But it matters who your parents are. And in this case, your parent is God. You're part of God's family if you receive Jesus, if you believe in him and follow him. That means you let him redefine in your heart and mind what it means to look like to be an important person. It looks like humility and selflessness. It looks like self-giving love and faithfulness. The people that don't know God say, "I'm important because the people who sold me these clothes say I'm important. I'm important because the people who sold me my car said I was important. I'm important because the people who gave me this job told me that this is the kind of job an important person has." The people that don't know God think those are the types of things that bestow glory and honor and significance on people. But Jesus says, "Listen, if you follow me, if you follow me and accept what I am giving to you, God will give you glory. God will make you his children." John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to the Father before his crucifixion. In verse 22, he says, "The glory that you have given me, the status, the authority, the position, I have given to them," the disciples. Jesus is saying, "My position as your child, I now bestow that glory on them." Why? "That they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one." By becoming a follower of Jesus, being part of the family of God, part of the followers of Jesus, we become part of the glorified people of God. The people that are called God's children. Royalty, status, honor, importance. Not as the world defines those things, and not because the world says those things about you, because the world will likely say you're not important, and you're not significant, and you're not royalty, and the question becomes, whose opinion do you care about? The world says that's not what royalty looks like. That's not how royalty acts. Royalty doesn't get up and wash people's feet. Royalty doesn't die for someone else. Royalty makes someone else die for them, but God says no. I want to redefine royalty. I want to redefine status. I want to redefine importance. I want to redefine glory. What does it look like to be royal? What does it look like to be important? What does it look like to be significant? And Jesus shows us these things and says, "Father, the glory that you have given to me, I am giving to them so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." Look how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. He's on the same page as Jesus is. And Paul says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." Jesus has become our brother so that the glory bestowed on him, he might give to his people. And Paul says, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the path to glory. This is what royalty looks like. This is what significance looks like. A willingness to suffer with Jesus. A willingness to leverage all that we have for the sake of others. Selflessness, humility, love. This is what significance and status and royalty and honor and glory look like in the kingdom of God. That's not what the world says. The world says exactly the opposite, and they always have, and they always will. They will always say, "You don't understand. That's not what important people look like. Important people aren't the ones washing feet. important people don't do that. And Jesus says, yes, they do. If you follow me onto the floor, if you follow me to the cross, if you follow me to service, if you follow me to selflessness, I will give you glory like you can't imagine. And you have to decide, will I seek the glory from God or the glory from man? And that's our moment of truth question. Are you seeking glory from God or man? We all want to be important. We all want to be significant in our lives, a position where we make a difference. We have to allow, though, that to be defined by God rather than man. When man gives you the glory, he can take it away from you. And it's easy to accept it when somebody says you're an important person because you look good. You're an important person because you're pretty. Or you're an important person because you're rich. Or you're an important person because you're funny or you're fun to be around. But what happens when you're not anymore? Or they don't think you are anymore. And then they take it all away from you. It's easy to accept it and say, yep, thank you, I am all those things. I'm important for whatever reason you said. But Jesus says, I don't receive glory from man. And neither should you. Where does your sense of significance come from? Where does your sense of belonging come from? Where does your sense of honor come from? Is it because somebody likes you? Is it because your post on social media got a lot of likes? Is it because your boss thinks you're good? Who is giving you your glory? Is it man or is it God? And that's what Romans 8 is all about. If God is the one who gives you glory, if your glory, if your sense of importance, significance, and honor comes from God, comes from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, then nothing can take it away from you. Not famine, not darkness, not sword, or anything else can take it away from you, the love that is God in Christ Jesus. Are you seeking glory from God or man? That's the sort of thing we are pledging when we are baptized. I surrender. The pursuit of glory for man is hopeless. It's vanity. It's done. I'm done. I surrender to you. As Paul says in Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm dead. I'm done, and now I only want the status and importance and significance and sonship and daughtership that comes from God. That's what he gives you. When you pledge your life to Jesus and you are baptized, he makes you his child. He causes you to be born again, to be adopted into his family, to become a royal priesthood. That's what you are as Christians if you choose to receive it and seek it and accept it. Maybe you just need prayers this morning. Maybe you need to become a follower of Jesus. Maybe you need to come back home. Maybe you need your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you and with you, because we all need somebody to pray with and for us, that we start seeking or continue seeking the glory that comes from God and not man. This morning, if you'd like to respond, please come as together we stand and we sing.